needed so far? Yes.
Just Ajahn Beth often refers, when he's talking about non-duality, that actually that's not really part of the Buddha's teachings in a sense, because it generally seems to refer to the quality of unity, oneness, rather than, say, complete transcendence as in the Buddha's teachings. But if there's an identification of me in relation to, you know, the non-dual all is the unity, then that's still...
That's a duality, yeah.
Yeah, but I was wondering if you had, in your experience of teachings on non-duality, a sense of whether most of them do refer to an allness, you know, a unity, or if they actually do refer to something that's more compatible with what the Buddha taught.
I can't really speak in any kind of detail from the Vedic Hindu tradition. I've read a bit of people like Nisargadatta Maharaj and Sri Ramana Maharshi. The Advaita Vedanta teachings that I've come across have mostly been from those, rather than classical sutras or Upanishads, Vedas and so on. They're kind of the way they speak about it. But from those more current expressions, more modern expressions, like Nisargadatta was even more recent than Ramana Maharshi, I would say that non-duality is not just the non-duality of that which is known, but also the non-duality of subject and object. Is the two different modes of duality we're talking about here. So like things in relationship to each other. So sometimes non-duality can be referring to, rather than distinguishing this person, that person, building, space, carpet, you know, this word, that word, and saying, well, they're all of the same essence, or there's no fundamental difference. It can refer to that. In one particular sutta, which is talking about equanimity, equanimity based on diversity, equanimity based on unity, and then equanimity based on atamayata, three levels of equanimity. And the way I describe that, or think about that, is in terms of equanimity based on diversity is the experience of being still in the midst of all that, and all that is a lot of different things. Equanimity based on unity is stillness when everything is unified or seen as of a single quality, like, you know, it's all Dhamma, or it's all
right.
Aspects of nature. Equanimity based on unity. And then the third level is, it's one of the few places in the canon where you get the word atamayata being used. It's equanimity based on what Ajahn Tanisaro calls non-fashioning, and Bhikkhu Bodhi calls non-identification. A few days ago, I think I was talking about this, that I feel that atamayata is the Pali equivalent of Advaita. And when describing what does atamayata essentially mean, then my favorite term for it is subjectless, objectless awareness. So a quality of knowing, independent of any kind of self-creation, and that which is being known, not given any false substantiality or independence. It's sort of the territory where language runs out and... collapses at the border.
So that would be a level of non-dual experience, but also not unity, not a single whole I as well. It's just completely devoid of anything.
Exactly, yeah. We cover it later on in the island, where the Buddha says they are attached to the all. They love the all. They conceive themselves as being part of the all. And why is that? Because they don't understand the all, the sabba.
Right.
So anyway, we'll get to that. But so that, in terms of that non-duality, again, I'm not an expert, and I'm sure when we're living in California, you sometimes find dueling non-dualists, very neat pun, where say, my non-duality is less dual than your duality, or your non-duality. You really would get some kind of dialogues that would go on like that. But with respect to that whole territory where, like, with someone, my non-duality is less dual than your non-duality. About 20 years ago, my last sabbatical year was in India, and one of the people I was traveling with, Eric McCord, who's quite a good logician, mathematician, one of the things he said, one of my pet peeves is when people say, I really love non-duality. In relationship to what? If you're comparing your non-duality to something, you've got a duality. So for a logician, that's the kind of a thing that you might sort of carry around in your mind. Like, the mind so easily compares. And so when we talk about principles like non-duality, you have a word, Advaita or non-duality or Atamayata, but it's essential to be bearing in mind that the word is pointing at an attribute of reality. It's, the word itself is not just an idea to hang on to. And that's what you get when you get people dueling non-dualists, that they're hanging on to the idea or the principle or their memory of an experience, and then trying to sort of put somebody else down. And so often what you get in the teachings and the Pali Canon is you can get a feeling for the Buddha being in this sort of philosophical arena that was so sort of popular, so active and so live in India. Different teachers, different spiritual experts, pundits and philosophers and expert reciters of the Vedas, and the tendency to have all your arguments worked out and all of your quotations prepared, and you kind of defeat each other. And actually having competitions, like philosophical debates, like almost like public entertainment. You're having a party, so you get a couple of philosophers in to have a debate to sort of amuse the crowd. And it seems that that was the kind of environment that the Buddha was in a lot of the time, so that over and over again, he's trying to steer people away just from attaching to the ideas about these principles and to talk about the way of their realization.